Scripture passage this morning is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, and then Matthew 5, 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, then Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Reading first from 1 Peter, let us hear God's word. The Apostle Peter writes and he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." And then reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now. We thank you that you have fed us with the bread of the earth. But, O Heavenly Father, we desire the bread of heaven. We desire your word. And so we ask now that through the preaching and the teaching of your word, that you would feed your people, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last week's beatitude told us that those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ have been adopted into the family of God. They are the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. There is no more fear of being cast out. There is no more condemnation for us. We are part of God's family. God loves us with an everlasting love. God loves us with the same amount of intensity that he loves God the Son. Everything that happens to us is designed by God for our blessing, even the tough times. You see, this is the central biblical truth that frees us up. When Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free," this is what he is referring to, that you are the children of God, that you are loved by God, you are protected by God, you will be provided by God. That means that what the world thinks of me does not matter. What my friends think of me does not matter. What my enemies think of me does not matter. What I think about myself doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what God thinks of me. The only thing that matters, that helps me in life, that gives me definition and direction as to who I am and how I should live my life, is that what God has said about me is that I am his child. God is my Father. God loves me even though I continue to sin. God loves me even though I make a total mess of my life. God loves me for Christ and through Christ, and that will never change. God did not love me because I was good. Instead, God loves me to make me good. And because He is my Father, He promises to provide for me. He promises to protect me. He promises to mold me into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And thus, in doing so, He promises, if need be, to discipline me. He disciplines those He loves. God promises to bless me. He promises never to leave me. He promises never to forsake me. God promises that there is a joyful life waiting for all of His children. Therefore, what happens to me before the return of Christ is of little consequence. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that God has declared me to be His child, His beloved child. You know, when you can't see clearly, as I can't, you put on your glasses, you put on your spectacles, and then everything becomes clear. In life, we need to put on the spectacles of God so that we can see clearly what He says in His Word about us. And you need to do that. And let me tell you why. Because Jesus tells us that what will happen to us will not feel like that we are blessed by God. Jesus says that what is going to happen to us will not make us feel like there is joy waiting for us. We will not feel that God is on our side. We will not feel joy in this lifetime. Jesus says we're the children of God. But what He tells us is that in our experience, we will feel like we have been rejected by God. Jesus says we are blessed by God. But He also tells us that what we will experience in this life is that we will feel like we are under the curse of God. Jesus says we've been given the kingdom. But in this life, it will feel like we have been abandoned. As the world considered Jesus cursed and stricken by God, Jesus says, you better be ready, you better be prepared, put on the spectacles of God, because in the same way that they treated Jesus, they will treat you. As Christ came to His own and they received Him not, as we go to our family members, as we go to our neighbors, as we go to our co-workers, as we go to our fellow students, we will run up to the same type of reaction. They will not welcome you. Instead, they will reject you. Thus, we see the reason that after Jesus pronounces that we are the children of God, He reminds us that we're still going to be the children of God, yet it will feel, our experience will be, that we will be persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See how He reminds us of that? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Then here it comes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, but theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. You see, the end of the Beatitudes takes us back to the very beginning of the Beatitudes. The last words link together with the first words. The promise of a kingdom of God. If you remember, we were told in the very beginning, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now we are told that because the kingdom of God is ours, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be rejected. Yet, in the midst of such rejection and suffering, remember that you are blessed. Remember that the kingdom of God is yours. Perhaps Jesus realized how surprising this must have been to his disciples, because, you know, it is very surprising to us. It seems like if we are the children of God and the kingdom of God is ours, it seems like that means that we should have this joy all the time. That the blessings should just fall like the manna from heaven. And every day we just have to go up and scoop up all the blessings and be happy. We scratch our head and ask, why does the world reject those who are poor in spirit? Why does the world reject those who are meek? Why will the world despise the merciful and the pure in heart? Why will the world be at war against the peacemakers? Why in the world would the world reject such people? Well, the answer for us is that we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Listen to Jesus from John chapter 3. He says, this is the verdict. The judge has made the verdict. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. What Jesus is saying is that there is group A, there's group B. There's the sheep, there's the goats. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. They follow him. They are blessed by him. They inherit the kingdom of God. Group B, the goats, hate everything about God, hate everything about the kingdom of God, hate everything about those who are in the kingdom of God. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, says, those without the Spirit will not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. You ever had a roach in your house? You know, you get up in the middle of the night and you go into the kitchen and you turn the light on and there's a roach. It's an old bug. What does that bug do? He runs. He runs from the light. He loves the darkness. Well, in the same way that men and women hate Christ, therefore they're going to run from the things of Christ. They're going to run from his purity, from his righteousness, his holiness. They are going to run from the truth. People rejected Jesus because he was righteous. You businessmen, have you ever heard of the Peter Principle? The Peter Principle is a way to discern those who are competent and incompetent in business. In the Peter Principle, those who are incompetent, they come in on the bottom level, you know, the trainee. And because they are incompetent, they don't ever move up the ladder of responsibility. And early on, they get fired because, well, they're just incompetent. They can't even do basic trainee stuff. But then you've got what's called the super competent. They enter in at the trainee level, but they immediately go up the ladder because they are competent in every level. The incompetent are pushed out. The super competent, they meet the same fate, because then they become a threat to those who are controlling everything up here. My friends, when it came to holiness, when it came to righteousness, when it came to purity, Jesus Christ, super competent. And because he was super competent, the religious leaders of his day were threatened. So they got rid of him. They didn't just fire him. They had him killed. He was killed. He was murdered. Because he was righteous. The Pharisees' righteousness, you see, was a man-made righteousness. It was man-contrived. It was a self-righteousness. But the day that God came to town, the day that God showed up, the righteousness of Jesus Christ showed and proved that the Pharisees' righteousness was a righteousness of incompetence, and that they could not stand his presence. So they got rid of him. They were intimidated by him. The sinful heart of the Pharisees hated the pure heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 8 that the reason the Pharisees sought to kill him was for no other reason but the fact that Jesus spoke the truth to them. The light of Christ exposed the darkness of men's hearts, and those men couldn't stand it. So the only thing that they could do was get rid of the light. They killed the King of Glory. Jesus was killed because he was good. He was killed because he was righteous. He was killed because he was holy. He was killed because he spoke the truth. And now Jesus says to you, the sons and daughters of the living God, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. What Jesus is saying is that the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to you. Oh, it may be on different levels. Most of us here in this country are not going to be murdered because of our righteousness. If you lived in China, Pakistan, or India, or Russia, that could very well happen to you. But here in the United States, Though Christianity is being pushed further and further out of the discussion in politics and finance and in worldviews, yet we still have a certain amount of protection by the law. But the persecution is coming. It's, in many cases, already on our doorstep. And Jesus says, in the same way that he was treated by the world, you're going to be treated that way as well. The world rejected Christ, not because of something he did wrong, but because of what he did right. I think many times we don't know how to interpret the Bible. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class this morning. The history of the world is a story of good versus evil. It is a story of the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. It is a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. The book, the Bible, is a book about cosmic warfare. In Genesis chapter 3, God declares war against sin and evil when he said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent." This war quickly was engaged when Cain then killed Abel. And then Ishmael persecutes Isaac. Esau seeks to kill Jacob. Pharaoh persecutes Moses and the Israelites. King Saul tries to kill David. The prophets are rejected. They are persecuted because of their message. Even at the birth of Jesus, King Herod sends the soldiers to kill all the infants. And then after the death and the resurrection of Christ, the war continues. From Acts we read, "We must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God." The Jews incited the chief men of the city and stirred up persecutions against Paul and the brothers. And then Peter writes and says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name." You see, we need to hear that. We need to hear that if we are persecuted, we are still the children of God. That the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God still rests upon us. You see, the history of the world is nothing more than the struggle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Between good and evil. Between the offspring of the woman, which is Jesus Christ, and the offspring of the serpent. All that happens in the world, all that happens to you, is connected to this warfare, to this struggle. When we see things happening in our culture, we need to understand that this is the very battle that is being waged. The battle between good and evil. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. You see, real loyalty to Christ, it creates friction. Real loyalty to Christ creates friction because it exposes sin, it exposes evil. Like you were to scratch a match against a rock and it were to burst into flames. True loyalty to Christ, it creates that friction. It creates that friction. It ignites in people a hatred towards God. Now here's the thing. You don't have to go out looking for persecutions. It'll come to you. All you have to do is be loyal to Christ. Persecution will come to you. The Apostle John says this, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and who murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. John says the reason that Cain killed Abel was because Abel lived a righteous life. And Cain couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand being around his brother. So Cain went out to look for his brother in order to kill him. Cain killed Abel because Abel lived a holy life. The world will hate the Christians when we are loyal to Christ. The lamb doesn't have to go look for the wolf. The only thing the lamb's got to do is be the lamb. And the wolf will come looking. You don't have to go out and look for persecution. All you got to do is be loyal to Christ, and the persecution will come to you. It'll come to you in your school. It'll come to you in your place of work. It'll come to you in your neighborhood. You be loyal to Christ, and the devil will find you. Have you ever seen one of these like monster movies? You know, the people are hiding, and the monster comes into the room, you know, and he's looking around, but the people are hiding and they're real quiet, and you think that, oh, maybe the monster won't recognize them. But then one of them bumps the table and there's a little clang and clang, and the monster turns and looks. Well, you know they're going to get eaten now, don't you? Yeah. You be loyal to Christ. And as you're being loyal to Christ, you're going to bump the culture. You're going to make that little bit of noise. And Satan will turn. And he will zero in on you to keep you quiet. It is not by accident that the Apostle Peter tells us that Satan is like a roaring lion and he's always looking for someone to devour. Be loyal to Christ, but understand that when you're loyal to Christ, the devil will come looking for you. You know, we assume that because Christianity is a religion of grace and joy and love and blessing, that somehow it excludes sorrow and difficulties. Well, Christianity is a religion of grace. But my friend, let me tell you, it's not a religion of cheap grace. You know, cheap grace is a grace that's going to cost you nothing. But the grace of Jesus Christ will cost you everything. When Jesus calls us to follow Him, He calls us to come and die. Die to yourself. Die to your confidence. Oh, this is the biggie. Let me tell you. You got to die to your confidence. You have to follow Him. You have to be willing to give up your life. You die to yourself in order that you may live for Him. You die to your confidence that you may have confidence in Him. You die to your good opinion of yourself so that your good opinion of Christ will increase. True grace will cost you everything. Jesus says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his own soul?" Let me put it to you this way. When Jesus saved you from your sin. He did not save you in order that you be spared the conflict. Instead, when He saved you from your sin, He saved you that you would be spent in the conflict. He doesn't save you that you would be comfortable. He saves you that you would join His army. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. We're going to sing that next week. How strange it is that men are angry with those that bring good news. We don't hate the physician when he has to lance the boil on our arm in order to heal us. No, we are thankful. Oh, but the gospel, you see, will lance the heart. And if there is not a work of the Holy Spirit there, they will not be thankful to the great physician. Instead, they will hate the great physician. And they will hate those who bring that good news. Persecution is the legacy of Christ Jesus. He says, in this world you shall have tribulations. If you belong to the world, it would love you. But since the world does not love you, it is a sign that you do not belong to the world. Instead, being persecuted for righteousness is a sign that you are loved by God, that you are in His kingdom, that you are a son or a daughter. You need to know that, because it ain't going to feel like that. Be loyal to Christ. If need be, go to the cross with Him. Be loyal to Christ. The devil will bring persecution. But remember, this is the trademark of the children of God. They treated Christ that way. They will treat His brothers and sisters that way as well. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for the faithfulness of Christ to endure such persecution at the hands of evil men. So, Heavenly Father, as we follow Christ, we are well aware that we may have to face those same persecutions as well. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us grace. Give us grace during the times of testing, that we would be faithful, that we would be loyal to Jesus. It is not within our strength to do so. It is only within the strength of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that we can pick up the cross and follow Him. Help us, Lord Jesus, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand and sing hymn number 571.